How many Gospels are there? That's right, four. Do you know what they are? That's right. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they begin the New Testament. I find it easy to think forward. When I was young, I could think of being 20. When I was 20, I could think of being 30. And I can think of what it's like to live forever, to have eternal life and live with God even after I die. But I find it much, much harder to go the other way and think of when the world was made and think before the world was made, God existed. God the Father, God the Son, the Lord Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit. And that nobody made God. He always was there. Now, my mind doesn't grab that easily. I believe it. But nobody made him. He was always there. I find that more difficult to grasp. But I want to take it back to that time. We know that the Lord Jesus is from everlasting, never was made, to everlasting. As God, he always existed, and he always will. So if you can not fast forward, but fast backward to before the world was made, and think that there was the Father, and there was the Son, and there was the Holy Spirit. And they loved one another. They got on well with one another. They didn't need anything else. Not people, not a world, not anything. Because all that was within them, one day, this whole world would be created because the whole idea was within them. Before the world was, God knew how bad human beings would be when they were made. Now, there was no world yet, but God knew. So, God knew that people, millions of them all down the years, would be sinners. When I pray, I often go slowly through the Lord's Prayer. And I begin, don't I, by saying, Our Father, and I praise the Lord that I may call him Father, but we'll leave that for a minute. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You think of the billions on earth? And probably not even 1% of them. Hallow the name of God. That is to say respect, worship, belief. God knew what was going to happen. And so he and the Lord Jesus Christ, if you like, talked about it. That's the best way I can put it, I think. And they decided, before the world was made, that God, the second person, the Trinity, he would one day come to this world, be made a man, be a perfect man, and yet still be perfect God. He would come. And because God is fair and right and holy, and people were not going to be fair and right and holy, but cruel and wicked and wanting to grab things, God couldn't be God and not punish people. And that meant everybody, beginning with Adam and Eve, right down. But they had this idea, a silly way to put it if you like, but that the Lord Jesus, or that the second person of the three persons of the Godhead, would take human flesh, be called the Lord Jesus Christ, and come and live a life on earth without ever, ever, ever doing anything wrong at all. So that there could be no punishment on him for things he'd done wrong. But he would be punished on behalf of all the others who believed in him. And that's what he came to do. So the story of Christmas goes right back before the world was made. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I remember when I first was a Christian, and it was the first Christmas, and I didn't really know my Bible. I found it strange that Mark didn't tell the Christmas story at all. And that John didn't tell the Christmas story, but said the sort of things I've been saying, that the Lord Jesus who came into this world was God who made the world. But John doesn't tell the Christmas story. And we think of the Christmas story as involving the shepherds who came to visit the baby while he was in the stable, and the wise men who came and visited him also, but not on the same day, not at the same time. But even more strange, Matthew doesn't mention the shepherds. And Luke doesn't mention the wise men. And this story, which we hold at Christmas time, only Matthew and Luke mentions, but Matthew only mentions the wise men, and Luke only mentions the shepherds. They all mention the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. The time had come. If God had been human, he would have been excited. But I don't know what the proper word to use about God. But this day that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit had all been preparing for from before the world was made was just happening. The child who was to be named Emmanuel, God with us, who was actually to be called Jesus. He was about to be born. Who knew? Did the inhabitants of Jerusalem know? Did the inhabitants of Jericho know? Did the inhabitants of Capernaum know? Did the inhabitants of anywhere? Did they know? No, they didn't know. Mostly they didn't know anything about it. So here is this most exciting thing, and God is going to tell the world about it. And what way does he choose to do it? At that time, the Roman Empire governed the world. In some ways, they were good. They made roads that were straight. And that meant you could get from Rome to India along the road. You had to walk all the way pretty well, unless you had an animal or something like that. But you could do it. And that was going to be important because when they told about Jesus many years later, they were going to be able to use those roads to get to the places. But the Romans were in charge of the world. And they had decided that all the world should be taxed. Now that meant that the Romans wanted to collect money to pay for their soldiers and their chariots. And in order to do it, they wanted to know who everyone was, where everyone was. So they decided that they would hold a taxing. We would call it a census, but it had to be orderly. And the way they decided it was going to be orderly was that everybody had to go on a given day to the place where their family in origin came from, which in the case of Joseph and Mary was Bethlehem, because they were descended from King David. And there they were counted, their names were written down, and it was just in time for the Lord Jesus' name to be written down as well. And depending who you were, what you did, they'd put down how much you would have to pay the government. That was the whole point of the taxing. And God had chosen that at the very time when Mary was to bring forth her firstborn son, it wouldn't be where they lived. It wouldn't be in Jerusalem. It would be in Bethlehem. Given warning that that would be the case to the prophets before, and they put it in the Bible. But Bethlehem. So Mary and Joseph made their way to Bethlehem, but so did thousands and thousands of others. Now the Jews were very good like that in Jerusalem when they had special feasts. Everybody, without exception, threw open their houses for everybody else who'd come from a long way away to come and stay with them. And you could do the same at this time at Bethlehem. I'm sure all the houses had lots of people who would come. But Joseph and Mary had not been able to hurry. They couldn't get there first. Remember the man at Bethesda who couldn't get into the water first, so he couldn't be healed. Jesus picked on him to help. And so God brings Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, but everywhere's full. There's not a single house that could even find half a room for them. All the places and all the places right nearby were absolutely full up. There was no room in the inn, but it's clear that the landlord said, if you want, you can shelter in the stable. Don't know whether it was the time of the year when the animals, the cattle, were out or whether they were in. Sounds as if they might have been out. And so Mary and Joseph went into where they kept the animals, straw everywhere, possibly muck everywhere, depending how recently the animals had been there. And it was then that Mary gave birth, and the baby was placed in the feeding trough. Don't know the design of them in those days, but they used to be cross bits of wood, and they could get the straw out of it, the animals. But Jesus was placed there and was wrapped tightly round with bandages, because that was what they did in those days, to try and make sure that the arms and legs were strengthened. And that was where Jesus was born. When he was with his mother and father, he had a home, but during the days of his public ministry, he never had a home. And where he was born indicated that that was going to be what it would be like. He would not have a home. There would not be room for him in people's hearts. I guess nobody took much notice of Joseph and of Mary. In the thronging streets, if people hadn't already got to where they were going to stay, I don't think anybody would have noticed them. But God always wanted this. The Father always wanted the Lord Jesus to be born, even all those years after the world was made. The Bible, you have to work it out, and it's not altogether easy, but it looks like 4,000 years before Christ was born, the world was made. And for all those years, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit had been looking forward to the time when a Saviour would be sent into the world to save people from their sins. And even those who'd been born before and who trusted God in special ways that I haven't time to deal with now, they too would be saved by this same Lord Jesus Christ. But how do you make it known? How did God choose to make this thing wonderfully known? Well, he spoke to shepherds and he spoke to wise men. Interesting. The shepherds were working class. The wise men were well dressed. The shepherds were probably not well educated, but they wouldn't have been idiots. But the wise men were clever and learned, like university professors. The shepherds were very poor. But from the fact that they brought frankincense and gold and myrrh, the wise men were rich. The shepherds were very near to where Jesus was born. The wise men were a long way away. And God chose that these two sorts of men should make known the gospel in its earliest days. Meaning that it doesn't matter if you are poor or rich, clever or don't know anything, whether you are a long way away or whether you live nearby, that all people are welcome to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So Luke tells us about the angels. It begins with the shepherds. The shepherds were out there in the fields looking after the sheep. Well, of course, shepherds in those days did have to watch. There were in those days wolves about. And there were other wild animals. I think lions had been about earlier, but not in the time of Christ. So they had to watch out. Possibly they had to have a fire, keep wild beasts away. But they were watching over their sheep. They were awake while everybody else was asleep. Mary wasn't asleep, nor Joseph. Perhaps the baby was just being born. And an angel came to them. Suddenly appeared. Maybe it was Gabriel. He was the one who spoke to Zacharias, and he was the one who spoke to Mary. But maybe we're not told who. But the angel came. I don't know how many shepherds were there, but in the middle of the night, the angel appeared to all those shepherds. And he was so bright, they immediately paid attention. But not only that, they were terrified. What's this? What is it? And the angel came and he shone with such a bright light, because God is light, which means that God has understanding, he's not ignorant. And this angel was radiating light everywhere, lighting everything up. And God's glory shone around about them. The angel said, "Fear not, don't be afraid. Do you know why I've come? I've come to bring you good tidings of great joy. I've come to bring you good news," which is what the gospel, the word gospel means, good news. "I have come to bring you good tidings of great joy. I've come to bring good news, and this good news will be so, so important. Not just important for today or tomorrow or for earning money for a week, or but important when you're growing older, and important right into everlasting life. This is good news of such joy, because it will, you will know that you're going to enter into everlasting life and your sins will be forgiven. I bring you good tidings of great joy. And they're going to be for all people." But not everybody believed. You remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish. Just because we're human, we're not going to be saved and go to heaven. Only through the Lord Jesus Christ. "But I bring you good tidings. I bring you good tidings of great joy. The Saviour is born in the city of David." That's Bethlehem. They knew it was Bethlehem when they said the city of David. They knew that they were on the hills above Bethlehem. And the angel says, "To you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." Probably rang bells with them, but because they probably knew that the Saviour was going to be descended from David. "And to you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour," which is Christ, means anointed, chosen by God, Christ the Lord. And then he said, "This shall be a sign unto you." There would be a sign for the wise men also. But to prove that this was true, he said to them, "You will find him. You will find the baby. And you will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Now, this was knowledge that the angel knew and which he conveyed. And when the shepherds went to find the Lord Jesus, it meant that there was only one baby in the whole of that place that was in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. That was the sign that they'd got the right person when they found him. And when the angel had said that, suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host, a multitude of angels. Can you imagine it? There they are, out at night, in the dark, above Bethlehem, and the angel was speaking to them, and suddenly the place was surrounded by angels. Now we know that angels, the Bible tells us, like to look into the things that have to do with the Lord Jesus. We know that the angels minister to those who should be heirs of salvation. I want to remind you of Revelation 5, verse 11. Now, it says in Revelation 5 and 11, I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, many angels, and the beasts and the elders. How many? I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders. How many? And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. That's a million, I think. Something like that. 10,000 times 10,000. And add to that, thousands of thousands. Angels. I'm not sure that all those arrived at Bethlehem. So you've got it there in Revelation 5:11. I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. I used to love to listen to the Welsh Noble Voice Choir of 1,000 voices. I don't know how many people came. Gabriel sent, when he brought a message from God, I'm sent by God to tell you this. And the angels who desire to look into the things of the Lord Jesus must have been excited if they were the ones who were chosen to go and worship that evening, there in front of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how many? We're told it's a multitude of the heavenly host, which means multitude, army. A multitude of the angels praising God. Perhaps just 10,000, perhaps 500,000, perhaps a million. Unless they put on heavenly forms, they don't take space. They could all have been there. But I'm just trying to create for you the glory of what happened, the splendor of the light. All these angels praising the Lord. Praising looks like singing. It doesn't actually say they're singing. Seems fair to think that they're a choir from heaven. Suddenly, they just appeared right out of the blue. There was, with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God. And then we're told what they said, what words they used to praise God. They said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. What a wonderful plan it was for eternity. And the angels who'd always been there, they knew that it was wonderful. So they praised God. Glory be to God in the highest. That this little boy is born. That this gift too wonderful for words, this unspeakable gift, had been born. Glory to God in the highest. We'll join the angels one day if we believe, and we'll be singing glory to God in the highest, and a lot of other things too, like worthy is the Lamb that was slain. But not only in the highest does this thing that's happening in Bethlehem, but it's also to bring peace on earth. What's happening in Bethlehem has repercussions in heaven and has repercussions for everybody on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. But we don't see peace, do we? We see war in Ukraine. But the peace spoken of in the Bible is that God in Christ gives peace in the heart for those whose sins are forgiven. We have peace with God. The Lord Jesus came to give peace through the forgiveness of sins to God. Goodwill toward men. If you had a modern translation, that isn't what it says. Instead of saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men, it says glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace toward men of goodwill. It's only one letter different. But theologically, that is not possible. So whatever the argument about the manuscripts is, it theologically is not possible. There are no men of goodwill towards God. We're taught that in Psalms 14, 53, the quotations of them in Romans and Paul. There are no men of goodwill. There is none that turns to God. No, not one. There's none that doeth good in the sight of God. No, not one. There are no men of goodwill. If you had been left and you hadn't heard the gospel, you hadn't read the Bible, you hadn't been taught about Lord Jesus, you'd have just gone on throughout your life doing the things you began by doing. That's what you would have done. That's what I would have done. There are no men of goodwill, but there is God's goodwill. Not only to the older ones, but to the younger ones. God loves us. God takes care. God is concerned. He wants us to be saved and live with him forever in heaven. And then, as quickly as they came, they vanished. I wonder how long it took them to see that. I could read it in 30 seconds. I guess they might have been there 10 minutes. It doesn't matter, but you can read it quicker than it happened, I think. The angels vanished. When the angels had gone away, the shepherds looked at each other and they said, well, let's go to Bethlehem. Let us see what they said, the thing that's come to pass. We know the Lord made it known to us through the angels. Let's go. And they got a move on. They came with haste. And they found, just as it was said, they found Mary. They found Joseph. And they found the babe lying in a manger. Those of you who read scriptures, be careful to read it properly. I've many times heard it read. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Well, they didn't do any such thing. They found Mary, they found Joseph, and they found the babe lying in a manger. When they'd seen, they went away. And they told everybody that they knew everything that they'd been told about the child that was born. And all those who heard wondered. So, to start with, the Lord Jesus Christ was made known to shepherds. First of all, of course, to Mary and to Joseph. That was in the previous chapter of Matthew and Luke in particular. That was made known to shepherds. Shepherds told other people that they knew. And the word got around. 30 years later, we don't know. But perhaps much of the expectation that the Saviour would preach to them and that people would be saved through the work of the Messiah, the Saviour. Maybe that all began with a generation 30 years previously who'd heard those words. At least remember that you may lay good foundations. We try to lay good foundations in the lives of our grandchildren. We pray that they'll have tremendous effect over the years long after we are gone. And God was laying foundations of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. For 30 years, he wouldn't act publicly at all. He'd just be at home, he'd be a carpenter, he'd be a boy learning. But when he did start preaching, many would perhaps know that this was the child so wonderfully welcomed into the world. It is the Saviour that we gather to worship this morning. and I'll speak about the wise men, God willing, this afternoon.